Welcome to There She Goes, a podcast celebrating women who experience the world on their terms through solo travel. My name is Catherine Sullivan, and it is my honor to share these stories with you. Hello. Oh, you guys are the best. Thank you for being here. It really means so much to have an audience who puts up with my sporadic publishing schedule. So I'm so excited to be here with you today, sharing some fun stories and excellent tips from the beautiful Carmen. She's a natural explorer who's visited 55 countries, and she has the most charming Spanish accent. So you're going to want to stick around for this. But before we jump in, I wanted to share a personal travel update with you. After a long winter in lockdown London, I've recently relocated, or repatriated, I guess, to the US. Moving isn't exactly travel, but to me it kind of is, as I continue my semi-nomadic lifestyle. Thankfully, everything went super smoothly on the flight. Heathrow was eerily empty, so quiet, just a handful of flights scheduled all day. And on the other end, while there were a lot more people going in and out of Miami, immigration was speedy. I had a quick temperature check on my way out, and that was really it. Of course, I also had a negative COVID test to board the flight. If you've listened to me before, you know I make pretty much all of my decisions, especially the big ones, using my intuition or my inner voice, relying on a yes from within the depths of my body rather than any sort of mental calculations. And this decision to move countries was no different. While I genuinely could not be more grateful for the year and a half I spent in London, and in full transparency, I can't really definitively explain what brought me back to the States, I am 100% committed to honoring my inner knowing, my inner voice. And I distinctly remember one afternoon in the end of January, I was walking through my old neighborhood in Greenwich, sipping a latte, and it just hit me. It was time to go. My inner voice gave me 40 days to wrap things up, get ready, say goodbye, and that's exactly what I did. I mean, it's not like the 40 days was imperative, like I would have some angry fist pounding from my heart, I don't know, if 38 days worked out better instead or something. But it just so happened that everything aligned according to plan. And I was on a flight 40 days later. And the funny thing is, I'd been listening to a podcast earlier that day about starting new habits, and they were talking about how it can take up to 40 days. And apparently, my inner voice just latched onto that. It really liked that number 40. So yeah, you never know where inspiration's going to appear, what length of time, what image, what idea you're going to react to on that visceral level. Intuition is so important in all aspects of life, but especially in solo travel. Not only do you want to avoid wandering down a spooky alleyway, but most importantly, I think you want to honor yourself, your true self. Not what you see on Instagram, not what all the girls in the travel Facebook group are doing. Maybe not even what your best friend wants to do, but what you want to do, where you want to go, when you feel ready, and who you want to travel with. If you want to go alone, with a partner, with friends, in a group. And then as soon as you get that hit that it's time to go, and you will know because your inner voice will keep bugging you about it, then you don't want to let your mind get in the way. My mind came up with so many reasons to stay in London, good reasons. And there were moments when I was pretty upset about leaving, but that inner knowing never wavered. It never faltered. And I trust it fully, even when it takes some time for the underlying rationale to become clear, because it hasn't let me down yet when it comes to bringing me new opportunities and personal growth, even the uncomfortable bits. And, you know, that's what I'm all about. So before we jump into Carmen's interview, I just want to remind you all that I'm a trained and certified inner voice facilitator. That means I hold space for your inner voice to sing, for you to drop down out of your head and into the most authentic, deepest, wisest part of you, to hush the mind's worries and the mind's opinions for at least a little while. I've been having a lot of fun with clients recently who are interested in planning some post-COVID travel. Some of them are so surprised by what they hear from their inner voice about where to go or not go, with whom, when, and why, and all sorts of other amazing insights. So if you'd like to learn more, just send me an email or DM on Instagram or visit my website. They're all linked in the show notes. All right. So for my first US-based podcast, I am so happy to be sharing Carmen's story with you straight from Madrid, Spain, with her beautiful Spanish accent. And like Kim in the last episode, Carmen spoke to me a long time ago. Dear Carmen, thank you so much for your patience and understanding. Everything happens at the right time, doesn't it? At least that's what I would like to think. Maybe there's a new listener out there who will get a nugget from Carmen that they would have missed otherwise, especially as so many of us are gearing up to travel again soon. Soon-ish, anyway. Carmen has an unquenchable curiosity about the world. She's visited 55 countries and is a polyglot. People, she speaks 7 languages. We talked about where she traveled when she quit her job at a law firm, never to return again. The shocking sight she walked into in a hostel in Reykjavik, the piece of art that completely changed her perspective, and the game she excels at now thanks to her travel experiences. Carmen is a charming, lovely person, and I'm so happy to be able to share our fun conversation with you. Welcome, Carmen. Can you kick us off with a little intro, a bit about you, where you're from, how you started traveling?
I come from Spain and I live in Madrid, but I was born in a smaller city called Zaragoza. I studied law at the university, but after my experience in a law firm, I discovered that being a lawyer wasn't my dream job. So I was looking for a change and I made my luggage. I found a language school and I went to China. Okay, you must know that I did start my Mandarin lessons 1 year before, and therefore when I decide to make the change, I just say, why not China? So I go there.
Oh, wow. That's quite a leap from law school to law practice. And then, nope, not for me, China or bust. So cool that you studied Mandarin and then just got on a flight. What led to that decision and where in China did you end up?
Oh, I went to Beijing. I studied before and the language. I was very curious. I make expertise in China. I study the philosophy, I study the culture, the history, and I decided to study also the language. And I arrived there. I didn't know what is going to happen, but I want to try, and it was a very, very good experience. But I think I arrived very early. Maybe some years later, I will have more opportunities, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I imagine China's changed a lot in the last 15 years or so. Maybe if you went today, you would have been able to find a job and stay there if you wanted to. But I really love that you studied the culture and the language before visiting. Having that background, that appreciation and understanding can so enrich our experiences in a place. I may not dive into the textbooks like you, but at least I like to read a couple books set within a country before I go, like maybe a memoir, historical fiction or something. So when you went to China, you just recently graduated and then you're like, no thanks, peace out. I'm flying halfway around the world. How did your family react? How did they take it?
It was a surprise. My mom was very surprised, but they understand that I have been always thinking in left my city because it was like small. I used to travel a lot before, also before go to China. So I suppose it was something normal for them. But they learned how to send emails, how to use Skype. So we talk every day. So it wasn't a problem. They know I have to do it. So there was no... They can't say no. They just let me go.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you had that support. And technology really has transformed communication around the globe. In a weird way, I feel like I'm actually in better touch with my loved ones sometimes the further away from them that I am. There's something about physical separation and living completely different lives that, for me, can lead to a deeper level of sharing. Anyway, so I know you're a big traveler. Why do you think that is? What set off your wanderlust?
Okay, I remember that every summer my family used to rent an apartment to go to the beach, and we never went back to the same place. So I discovered a lot of different Spanish towns until I started university and I started to plan trips with my friends. I think that's the reason why I try to travel to different places and avoid going back to the same place, because I'm a firm believer that there is too much to discover. And until now, I have visited 55 countries. And if COVID allows me, I wanted to continue adding more countries to this number.
55 countries, that's a lot. I completely agree. There's so much to see out there. Where was your first solo trip?
It was the first one, and I wasn't very brave. I was younger than now, and I chose Portugal because it was only half hour fly away, and they could understand some Spanish. So I went to Lisbon, Sintra, Estoril, and Cascais.
Nothing to be ashamed of for choosing a neighboring country. That makes total sense that you'd visit Portugal for all those reasons that you mentioned. For someone in the US, maybe you'd choose a neighboring state instead, although I think Portugal would probably be more fun. But there's no need to prove anything to anyone on your first solo trip. The most important thing is to feel comfortable. Do you remember being afraid of anything before you left?
I suppose my fears were how to resolve a problem and maybe getting lost in the city or being robbed or something like that. But I have saved money and I have time available for holiday. So nobody couldn't join me. So I decided to be brave and reserve a bed in a shared room in a youth hostel for first time. And I remember when I arrived, I found another girl that also was traveling alone. So we decided to meet for dinner. And city was beautiful. Food was delicious. I met very nice people, local people, and it was an amazing first experience.
That's wonderful. So good to hear. Sometimes all it takes is one smiling face to put us at ease. Just making that first new friend proves to ourselves that it's possible if we want to.
I was going to go with a friend, but she found a job, so he couldn't come, and I was not going to stay at home. It was holiday time and I need to go. So, but of course it was Portugal. It was like easy, you know?
That's so funny. It was holiday time, so you were going. That is such a delightfully European perspective. We Americans have a lot to learn from you guys. Obviously, you've prioritized travel since that first trip. I'd love to hear how travel has influenced you in different ways, big or small.
Travel opened my mind. We live in a big world. There are other cultures, other different traditions, and other ways of thinking. First time that I travel alone, I stay in a youth hostel, and I remember that they already asked if I wanted to pay an extra money for compensating CO2 emissions. And it was first time someone asked me about that. And so it was totally new for me.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, there's so much to learn from exposing ourselves to different places and different people. You're definitely going to find some tree huggers in hostels. And I mean that in the best way. People with distinct experiences, priorities, ways of life. Travel really is so amazing for self-education and just broadening our perspective.
Also, traveling has motivated me to study different languages. In some moment of my life, I could speak 7 languages. Now, less fluently, but if I still have my books and my notes, so if I need it, I just give me 1 month and I think that I will come to speak again any of them.
7 languages? Oh my goodness, that is incredibly impressive. Wow, what a talent, what skill. So Spanish, English, Mandarin, which others?
German, Italian, and Portuguese. And French.
Wow, amazing. That must just open doors when you're traveling, being able to communicate with people in their own language.
I have traveled a lot and I have seen that if you speak English, that's enough. Because if you go to, I don't know, to Portugal, they kind of speak a little of Spanish and Portuguese. If you go to Germany, they will speak English also. So maybe in China, when I arrive, Chinese was more necessary because usually people don't speak English. But in other countries, also, if you don't know anything about the local language, you can understand them.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. A lot of the world does speak English, at least the people we're likely to run into as travelers and visitors, which is good news, really good news for anyone listening who maybe isn't as talented as you are on the language front. My next question can be interpreted in any number of ways, but what does travel mean to you?
Okay, travel means everything to me. I'm sure I couldn't be the same person without all my travel experience. Someone say that traveling makes you rich, and I think that is totally true. Because for me, all start when I'm thinking about possible destiny, you know. I look my wish list. Australia is always in the first position. Then I check my bank account. Australia now drops to the last position again. This happens every year. But I will go there someday. I don't know when, but I will go there. So I choose the place. I start to check flights. I start to visit a web page to know what I can do there, where I have to go, what to eat, because it's also very important. And when finally I'm there and I'm landing, I feel so lucky to start a new adventure because, you know, you can have something planned, but you never know what is going to happen there.
I love so much about what you just said. I couldn't have said it better myself. That feeling when you're about to touch down, when all the adventures are waiting for you, it's magic. And I'm totally cracking up that Australia is always considered but never chosen because you're simply unwilling to sit still long enough to save up for it.
Because, yes, the trip is very expensive. Yes, the plane is like too much. Minimum, I don't know. Okay, you can stop million of times. I will be cheaper, but it's so far. That also, you need a lot of holidays, minimum 3 weeks. And I think I have never going to have 3 weeks together, but I continue travel. I continue thinking about that someday I will go there.
Too funny. I love it. So on a slightly different topic, as we know, travel is such a great tool for self-discovery. What have you discovered about yourself while traveling? Maybe something you didn't know you liked before or a new interest?
Well, really, it was the art, because I study art as a subject in the high school and I enjoy it, but it was just another subject, you know, and I have discovered how much I like modern and contemporary art, visiting museums and cities that I have visited. So now going to the modern art museum, everywhere I go to some place is mandatory. I remember, for example, in Oslo, when I entered in the Astrup and Fearnley Museum of Modern Art. So there is a crazy a piece of art is Mother and Child Divided by Damien Hirst. You have to look in Google. It's a real calf that is a half.
An actual cow split in half? What?
I don't know. I saw it and I was thinking, why this is the first thing that you see in the museum? So I start to search in the internet and to know about the artists and to know about that kind of museums. And I was very, very interested about that. And now it's something that I used to do, go to art fairs or things like that. And I start to discover it when I start to travel. And it also started because sometimes I travel to a place and it's raining, and you can go walking, so you have to enter in any place. So I start to enter in the museums, and then you see things, and maybe it wasn't in my plan to go there, but
I'm definitely going to have to look up that Damien Hirst piece. I admit I know his name, but I'm not familiar with his art. Sounds very interesting and a bit perplexing, but it's fantastic that you rediscovered the side of yourself while just seeking shelter from the rain. We really never know what's waiting for us in a new place. What else would you say you've gained from all your travel, especially your solo travel?
Traveling has made me deal with issues and problems. It's opened my mind, of course, and it made me feel more powerful, because I have some situation, for example, I have lost my ID or my money or something like that. And if I were a little girl, I would start to cry. But no, I have to resolve the issue. Also, I'm alone. I'm the only one that I can resolve these issues, or it makes me more stronger. Yeah, this is one. And also now in my daily life, if I have an issue in my work, if I have an issue, I'm very quickly to find a solution. And also, like a hobby, I love escape rooms. I don't know if you know escape rooms. So I'm very, very quickly. And if you are in my dream, you are always going to win, of course. We always win because I'm very quickly and I know exactly what to do and what to tell you what to do. So, yes, I think they give me very confidence. And also, it's everything is possible, you know? Yes, just need to wait and think and do it.
That's so great. I love that you're an escape room master. It totally aligns with the skills you need on the road. Attention to detail, problem solving, resourcefulness, curiosity, a bit of intuition. I wonder if it goes the other way too, if people who are good at escape rooms would make competent travelers? Maybe not quite as transferable. Anyway, for any listeners out there who are dreaming about their first solo trip, I'd love for you to share any recommendations with them. Like, where should they stay? How can they meet people?
First of all, the youth hostels. Also, when you start to travel alone, this is an easy choice because you can always meet other people there and you never feel lonely.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hostels too for that reason. But a lot of people are turned off by them, by the lack of privacy, the noise.
Last time I went to a hostel, it was in Reykjavik in Iceland. And after a long trip, I arrived to the hostel, I opened the door and there were like, I don't know, maybe 12 Australian guys without clothes, absolutely nude. Yeah, because it was for boys and girls, you know, it was a mixed room. And I close a little and I say, okay, now you have a girl in the room, so I give you 5 minutes to put some clothes and I will be back, so please, please, please put something and I come back and I go dinner with them, I go party with them, and it was super fun. And they were 18. It was first time they was visiting Europe. They have a big trip, like 2 or 3 months visiting Europe, and I don't remember my age, but for sure I was older than all of them, and it was totally different trip that I was planned, you know. But it's fun. You never know what are you going to find there, because in sometimes there are girls' room, other times there are a mix of boys and girls in the same room. So just try once. If you don't like it, maybe go to a hotel. But you always meet people, and usually I think travelers are nice people.
That's hilarious. You had the best attitude walking into that room of bare-skinned Australians. I think that story might scare some people away from hostels forever, but you never know. Maybe you've inspired some others to book their next stay. All right, Carmen, thank you so much for everything today. It's been so interesting, so insightful. I'd love to wrap up with some recommendations for solo travelers to your beautiful country, which I personally would love to explore more, Spain.
Of course, of course. Because, Spain is a land of contrast. It's totally different, a week in Galicia in the north and a week in Cádiz in the south, or same with the island. We have Lanzarote. That is in Canary Island or Menorca in Baleares. And also it's totally different if you plan a cultural holiday or a beach holiday or an endless party holiday. So you can find wherever. Also a gastronomic tour or winery tour. We have everything. I think Spain is full of experience, full of beautiful and different places to visit. So you must choose what do you want to do. So, and also it's very okay. I don't think it's going to change. It's a very safe place. People is very open. I don't know no one that has been in Spain and don't like Spain. really no one. And I have people from a lot of nationalities. Also, when I travel and I say I'm Carmen from Madrid, all the people say, oh, Madrid, Spain, I love it. Sangria, paella. We have more things than sangria and paella. You must know for sure. We have a lot of drinks, a lot of food, but sangria and paella are very good, of course. But there is a lot to discover.
Yes, absolutely. Spain is incredibly rich in so many ways. Gastronomy, history, architecture, culture, dance, music, people, art, and each region is so different. I cannot wait to visit again myself. Any last words to wrap us up?
Yes, one last thing is that when you travel, when you are a solo traveler, you always win because you can arrive to a place alone, but you will go back home full of experience and for sure good friends.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's totally true. Yeah.
Me too. Thank you so much, Carmen. Such a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks to all the listeners out there. We'll talk to you soon.